If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm back with a familiar face and voice on the show. I was trying to think of how many times you've been on this podcast, and I think this is the fifth or sixth appearance. Sixth if you count your quick hits appearance. You're on one of those really short 10-minute interviews as well. And then you've done four normal interviews on the show dating back to 2014. So you've been appearing on the show for a decade now, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Actually, one of my favorite pictures ever you took, and it was in my jam spot. And I think it was like December. I was about to go on tour, and it's me in like my
overalls,
my
right?
No pants. Holding my guitar up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, for sure. So I don't think you need much introduction, but let's have you introduce yourself anyway and give a bit of background about what you do as an artist.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Greg Rikus. I'm a folk punk artist from Winnipeg. I'm a touring artist extraordinaire. When I'm not doing that, I'm an audio engineer.
Cool. That's pretty succinct, and that covers most of the bases too, for sure. So, I mean, the reason we're talking again is because once again, you have new music. You have yet another tour in the works here. So last time I talked to you on the show was 2022. So it's been a couple of years since then. Thankfully, from then to now, we've kind of passed the pandemic stuff. You're able to do your hectic touring schedule again, where it wasn't possible before. And now you have a new record as well. So what can you tell me about your new music? I mean, the last record you put out would have been probably that year, eh? Or even earlier.
Yeah. So it actually came out 2020.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then
yeah. It's
like dwarfed by the pandemic. I did get in a January tour that was moderately successful. And then I was right in the middle of like, I think 2 weeks into a 3-month tour with my friend Tim Holhouse.
Right.
He had booked this just amazing European tour. My partner Katie was going to come along. She was going to kind of be a tour mate. She had been to Europe before, but I don't think she had traveled it extensively. So the tour was like, it was just this big giant thing that was going to happen. And then I know I'm not the only one that got rear-ended by the pandemic. So many people did, and you know, luckily it never affected me really that negatively health-wise, so I'm definitely not trying to say anything like that, but still really hard. I really suffered. And then when we last talked 2022, like, as much as I was like masking up for a lot of the shows on that tour, we were like testing before every show, doing
sure.
like the nose swab. Nothing really went wrong. I felt like I had a cold the entire tour, never once tested positive for COVID, but it still wasn't very much, like, it was still very apparent that like this isn't back to normal yet.
Yeah.
As much as we did get to do the shows, as much as like nothing was derailed with us having to cancel a week or two to shelter in place because we got sick. The last year, 2024, has been like, wow, like it feels like it used to be in a lot of ways, and you know, feel really, really lucky for that.
Yeah.
And this year I've already done, I think I'm almost over 100 shows. I was out again with my friend Tim. We went out end of December, most of January, and then March, April, May, I was out in the US and then back to Europe. And it's been amazing. The new record, I feel like, has... I mean, I say this every time. You could probably like
make a compilation like of the clips. Yeah,
every single like, oh, the new record's the best. But honestly, I think it's so good. The lineup has changed up a little bit, and we really, really clicked on this one. Shay is on drums. He was in the Knuckle Draggers, a couple other Winnipeg bands. He was in Sugar Sick. Blue from Grotoco started playing bass, singing backup, and just instrumentation kind of stuff.
Cool.
And then, of course, Daryl is still back on sax. And, I also feel like I did a great job of writing the songs, but that's only part of it. No matter how good I do with here's, like, a couple ideas, it's still kind of up for everybody to do their part.
Yeah.
And when it comes to everybody's part, like, I try to be... I mean, if I really don't like it, I'm not going to be shy, but it's very much like, what do you think? What are you hearing kind of for the drums? I mean, if I'm thinking kind of like a... And then Shay's kind of like...
Yeah.
Like maybe in that case, like, oh, I was thinking something faster. But everybody kind of brought these amazing ideas, and I'm really, really, really happy how it turned out.
It's awesome.
It's one of those records, like, I wouldn't say I listen to it as in, like, I'll put it on and just, like, you know, stand back and you know, kind of, ooh, I'm so awesome. It's not like that. It's just something objectively, even if I could, like, tear my ears off my head and put them on someone else's head, that person would be like, yes, this is a good record.
That's awesome. That's a good way to look at it, I think. That you want to release something that you actually really, not just like, that you love, right? You want to put something out that you feel passionate about enough about that other people will hopefully feel the same way.
Yeah. And the process too, I feel I've kind of somewhat cracked it. Like we did this for the Punkoustic album, kind of. We had, I'm sure I told the story years ago.
Well, that was a decade ago too, right? So, I mean, it's been a while since that came out, yeah.
Yeah. Which that album I absolutely love too. And we rehearsed that one a lot, but not with the drummer. That was just me and the bass player. Mike Yerg was supposed to drum on that album. He didn't get into the country, got stopped at the border and sent back. So we scrambled. And in the end, it really worked out. But with the last three records, we've gotten together a week before and jammed like 8 hours a day.
Nice.
Like, nope. Start picking up people at like 9 a.m., get something to eat, get some coffees, start jamming. We'll have like a long lunch where we go have some good food. Back to the space, we'll go to like 6. So I think one night we even went kind of later-ish. And just so these songs are all we like live, eat, sleep. And then when it gets to the studio, you know, as much as maybe you're kind of tired and maybe you're even kind of sick of these songs, you know them. It is no, like when they hit that record button, there's no humming and hawing or thinking what's going to happen next. Like it is automatic and not in a robotic way, in a like, wow, I can't believe how well I'm playing these songs kind of way. So that was kind of the formula we used for this. And I think we knocked out the bed tracks in about 3 days. And that includes all the setup, getting sounds and everything.
Yeah.
And from there, we had all that time to do the sax overdubs. We might have done one of the sax tracks live too, I think. But I think most of it was overdubbed. But Daryl's the same way. Daryl's like a one-take wonder. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's a pro, right? He knows what he's doing, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I also feel like, That is how he plays his best stuff. I think he is the guy just got to find that moment. In the studio, he's always like turning off lights. He's trying to get the atmosphere right. It's all about the feel. And I think one of the solos, it's song number 4. It's called Rift. And I think it's one of the best ones he ever did. And I think it was like he had maybe heard the song 5 or 6 times. He couldn't make it to a bunch of the rehearsals. And he kind of just winged that one and he crushed it. He knocked it out of the park. And then same with vocals. Vocals were overdubbed. They were live off the floor, but we could spend time because we had 10 days in the studio and 3 days and the album's like more than half done. And then mixing, mastering sent off to the plant and it was ready for the release on February 10th, which was when it came out. And I did tour in January with it just on CD. That was kind of a secret release. So a few people are waiting for the vinyl there. I can't wait to come out in the fall to get it into their hands. And I'll be out again on the full.
What if I told you, let's work together, let's feed the poor, let's fix the weather, start looking past the complications, put in between all our relations, but human nature, it overwhelms and keeps us fighting amongst ourselves. All the strings, they still control us, just like the cops who still patrol us. Democracy, but it's a better way. Voting really mattered, then they wouldn't let us play. Forget my better judgment, I'm betrayed. gonna lead us? Are you gonna rule us? Are you gonna rule us? Are you gonna lead us? Are you gonna lead us? Are you gonna rule us? Are you gonna rule us? Are you gonna lead us? Hey! Is it a problem with our generation? Is it our lack of participation? It's hard to care when nothing changes, no matter how we mock the pages. The spirit of the 60s never died. Did it make some money? Gonna rule us? Are you gonna lead us? Are you gonna lead us? Are you gonna rule us? Are you gonna rule us? Are you gonna lead us? Are you gonna lead us? Are you gonna rule us? Are you gonna lead us? Are you gonna rule us? Are you gonna rule us? Are you gonna lead us? Are you gonna lead us? Are you gonna rule us?
I was gonna say about Daryl, like with the sax, I think it's interesting because your sound, especially at the beginning, and it still is the case now, but the Stompbox setup was definitely like the main sort of hallmark of your sound, and I think that vibe is still there. But the sax has become so important on the records that it's you know what I mean. Like
I love kind of being something different, and Daryl I played on Punkoustic. He did a solo on that same Sibling Cities, the record after that. And I never really realized he wanted to join the band, and he didn't realize I kind of wanted him to join the band. So it was one of those things, like maybe he would have played a lot more if we kind of knew. And it, as soon as he sat in on the rehearsal, started playing on other stuff, it was obvious, like, no, this is what we always kind of needed.
Yeah.
You know, because I love the way I play guitar. I think it's unique. At the same time, I'm very much a rhythm player. And it was kind of just missing that, someone to kind of do the solo, someone to kind of do those counter rhythms in between.
Yeah.
And not to just mention, I love the sax. I've always been a fan of it, kind of throughout albums everywhere, and nothing but compliments. There's some people that are kind of like, oh, I don't know, are you a ska band now? Which, I mean, it's fine with me. Call me whatever you want, but I don't think it's that at all. I think we've kind of found somewhere where, you know, what does it sound like? Like, I'd love to hear that one day. We're like, oh, it sounds like Greg Regis and the Inside Job. Like, not necessarily to be our own genre, not to be able to pull that off, but just that we have our own sound that you could describe something by just saying our band name. I think that would be another milestone, maybe.
That would be cool. And I think that, like, it just seems like such an integral part of it now on the last few records that it would be weird if you put out a record without Daryl at this point, you know, like it's so much a part of what you do. And obviously you can play shows solo and these songs work in different contexts, but listening to the actual albums, it seems like such an important piece of it.
Yeah. I very much stepped up my kazoo game, and that's so when I tour solo, I could kind of fill that space where he would be. And some of the songs I just don't play solo. I mean, if someone requests it, I'll do my best. Yeah. They just don't work as well just solo. But I'm at the point I just recorded my fifth album. I have, like, you know, how many cover songs I could do if I need to fill air. So it's not like I'm lacking material. But
sure. Well, that makes sense. And plus, I mean, you've been in bands prior to this solo project too that you have songs from. You're good, I think, as far as being able to churn out material. I don't know if I've asked you this before. I was thinking about that, but does it still feel like this, you tour hard, right? I mean, people who don't know maybe don't realize how much you're on tour, but you're like constantly touring, you're putting up posters, you're very, very actively doing this thing that you do. Does it still feel like, how do you feel about this at this point in your life, five albums in, you know, you're still hustling. Do you feel good about it? Do you feel like this is what you still want to do? I mean, I assume you do because you're still doing it, but has your take on it changed maybe at this point in your life, you know, at this point in your career? Or do you still feel the same way you did when you were 20 and doing this?
Yes and no. I mean, you get older, it's just a fact of life. And in terms of like, do I still want to do it? Yes, definitely. I hope people believe I'm not just saying that and that they don't think it's pathetic that like a mid 40-year-old man is still like touring and sleeping in the van and crashing on friends' couches. But I think I've done a really good job at kind of just flying under the radar, in the sense that I'm big enough that anywhere I go, well, yeah, I know someone in this town, I know someone in that town. Often people just recognize the name of, like, you know, rarely am I introducing myself in random emails to random places. Usually right. People like, yes, you've heard the name before. But I'm small enough that, I mean, I could do this just me. Yeah, I manage myself. I book myself. Only person I work with is a PR person, mostly in Europe. They're going to take a crack at some here because that's kind of one of more my weaker parts, just to kind of make sure, oh, okay, if there is a college radio station, are there any shows that might play the stuff? You know, that kind of little thing. And they also work for what I can afford. I did work with a few PR companies over the years, and honestly, it's a rich man's game. It's like you got to throw tons of cash before you kind of get any traction at all. And once it starts, but you know, it's also kind of like trying to keep a burlap sack full of water. Like you can't stop at any point and just kind of ogle at all this water in there. Like it's just constantly pouring out.
That is an interesting analogy. So, burlap sack of water.
But I mean, booking myself, managing myself, funding myself, I press my own records. I'm small enough that's manageable. I can do that and be successful at it. At the same time, it's big enough that, you know, every time I tour, I'm not like bugging people, begging, playing open mic nights. And for that reason, it's kind of given this weird longevity where, you know, it's not really, I mean, for me at least, it's not really getting tired. It's not getting to the point where every night I kind of go on the stage and it's like, yeah, crowd of people that like me. Yeah, they're going to ask for this one song. Yeah, I got to sign autographs after. And, you know, I mean, success is great. Especially financially speaking, it is a struggle. I'm not gonna lie. Like I get home and I work all summer to try to be able to do a fall tour.
I see you working all summer. Like every show I go to, you're sitting there doing sound, right? So yeah.
You're doing sound, yeah. Festivals all over the place. And if I may go in the weeds for just a second, to tour the U.S., you need a P2 work visa. If you're going to do it legally, I know there's a whole group of people that are probably going to email to be like, actually, you know, yes, you can sneak across the border, but I tour so often on tours, I'm going multiple crossings. It is quite risky, especially when I have a bunch of merch with my name on it.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of vinyl to try to ship that stuff all over the world and have a buddy that's holding my stuff here, buddy that's holding stuff there. Like it's not, to me, getting the paperwork was always an easier, better idea. However, if anybody else is watching this who is trying to get a P2 now, they know there's a giant backlog that they just opened a new office in California. They're backed up like 6 months.
Well,
I had to fork over 4,000 Canadian to get into the premium processing line. It doesn't even mean that guaranteed I will get it by a certain date. I mean, 35 days is what they say, and that is within my first day, but it's that kind of frustrating thing where, you know, even though I've been doing it for years, I kind of got the paperwork part figured out. It's not really that hard to get.
Yeah.
It still comes down to like, man, every cent I've made has gone into it. Would be nice if I was maybe a little bit more financially successful playing music. At the same time, I wouldn't want to have to trade something for that. That something being maybe like, oh, a song blew up and now I'm known for only that. And,
right.
You know, every time I play a show, that fun part where I kind of arrive and it's like a few friends and they're kind of excited to see me and maybe there's some new people there or kind of, you know, it's still very much an adventure. Like in Europe, I literally have just a guitar in one hand, a cart with a pedal board and a luggage and some records in the other. That's how I do Europe.
Yeah.
And if it was, you know, bigger to where maybe I have someone who booked a bunch of shows and I'm kind of shuttled from here to there, like I'm more of just a commodity as opposed to a person, Yeah, like I think a lot of artists, they get sick of it. They reach kind of like maybe where I am plus one or two, where, okay, now it is a living. Now they're paying a mortgage, but they're just sick of it. Like, no matter how many records they do, everyone wants that one song that's all you're ever known for. And you're kind of not drawing enough people that, you know, you're making it big, but you're drawing enough that you can't really stop doing this because any other possible job perspectives are like maybe flipping a burger at McDick's or like working at your dad's insurance company or whatever, right? So for that reason, I think that is why I still love it so much. And, you know, not necessarily, like, if I say lack of success, it's subjective because I think I'm successful, but that's probably a better way to explain it for what most people would picture as success in music. Like, kind of failure is what kind of has encouraged me to just keep going, because it's been so much fun. The game is so much fun. And if I really, really start to win, perhaps the game kind of changes to something that, okay, you know, now what am I doing with this anymore?
I think that because you do everything yourself, like you said, I mean, every aspect of this is you doing it, that you have that awareness of where you are and what you are and how successful you are. And that I think that keeping as much of it sort of in-house with you as you can, that's going to probably keep it at a manageable level because you're there, you're doing every part of it, right?
Yeah, like manageable level again. It's something where if I did also get bigger, I'm kind of at the point now where I do need staff. I need someone to book me to become unmanageable. I need someone to manage me. I need someone to do that thing. I probably need a lawyer because I'm probably getting sued all the time. Like, you know, I probably need someone to, hey, like, you know, to that, it doesn't sound like tons and tons of fun. And again, it wouldn't be horrible to be, you know, a little bit more successful. Of course, you can say that in any walk of life, but I do feel very lucky and very fortunate for everything I have. It's not like I feel I haven't worked for it. At the same time, I feel very privileged to have it. And, you know, I hope that message is always clear and that never goes away. And that, you know, I couldn't do it as much as it is a DIY thing. I always say it's DIT, do it together.
Yeah,
like, without all these friends booking me, without the people I play with, without John Paul Peters doing all my records, like, I would be nothing. Yes, yourself, of course, there are aspects that it's me sleeping in the van by myself, but so much of it is DIT, I think, do it together. And I'm very lucky for all those people that are my together people.
I like that. I like that acronym and the attitude, too. I think it's kind of the same way that it's always been done, especially in punk rock for decades now. It hasn't been called DIT, but it's been DIT, right? Like that vibe has always been there.
Yeah. The show, I have a show, I guess, by the time we air this, the show will be long gone. So let's pretend that the show goes awesome, which I'm sure it did.
Yeah, I'm sure it was great. We're in the future now. It's.
Right. Anyways, but it's two bands from the States. And as soon as they mess with me, like, right away, of course, I'm going to help you. What do you need? And trying to make it as good as it can, because that's what everyone has done for me.
Yeah.
And it's been a hard thing to sell to some bands. And I totally get it. If you're like, hey, we're a local band in Winnipeg. We play one or two shows a month. We play one or two shows a month. And that's how we pay our jam space, or we keep our jam space affordable. It's what we make from that goes to that. We're never going to tour to anywhere, so there's not a lot of a reason to help like a touring band out.
Yeah.
If anything, it's like, well, now, you know, we played this show with a touring band, we had to give all our money to them, and now we just played for free, and, you know, we got to cough up money out of our pockets to pay the whatever the situation it is. I totally get that. At the same time, though, there is a bigger scene out there that's this circle that is massive. It's worldwide of just people helping out people. And
yeah,
yes, perhaps you will never get helped back, but maybe a good friend you know will be out on the road and get help somewhere. Like, if you want to be a part of that circle, and if you don't, I'm not trying to dump all over you or say, like, you know, you're selfish if you need that money to pay your jam space. Like, I don't know everyone's financial situation. I'm really lucky that when I was 19, I like Homer Simpson'd my way into doing sound, and like, ooh, I like plugging in mics. What is this button doing? Like, whoa, won't touch that one again. And somehow, you know, miraculously made a successful career out of that works alongside my music career. I know not everyone's in that position, but if you do want to try to take a step back and see it as that bigger picture, and like, yeah, you could be a part of these shows with these touring acts. And even though maybe, you know, it is implied you should fork your money over to the touring band, you are kind of helping that bigger circle continue to turn.
Yeah, you're part of the global ecosystem of touring bands.
You don't want to know. You're still my friend, but
yeah, that's
kind of one reason why I do it. One reason why I will jump out of my way just to try to help someone, because that's what people do for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Whenever someone hears this, they could hear it the day it comes out, or they could hear it a year from now, you're probably going to be touring. That seems to be sort of the MO, is just to be always on the road. But, you know, right now we're recording this, it's late August. What are your plans? Where are you headed? I know you have a tour, yet another one sort of coming up.
So the weekend after this, which is 31st, the band and I are doing a little Manitoba tour. Manitoba tour, where we're going to do Winnipeg, Porter's La Prairie, and Brandon. I think it's going to be super duper fun. Back for about a week or so, and then the 12th of, I guess, just over a week, and the 12th of September, I'm in Dauphin, Manitoba, and then kind of work my way all the way out to Vancouver. I'm not hitting the island this time. I tried to keep it more to 2 months-ish. Part of it is financial reasons. I'm still kind of recovering from the last couple of years. I had a bit of a rough one last year in terms of vehicle issues and doing a new record.
Yeah.
And that this year I was actually recovering, and then I got hit with that $4,000 premium processing fee. Like, it's just a never ending pit of money.
Yes.
But
you're a true believer, though. I think, I said this on the show recently. I forget who I was talking to, but I really like talking to people who are true believers about something, whether it's a style of music or whether it's writing music journalism or making films or whatever it is. Like, there's people around who they sort of devote everything to this one thing. And I think you are one of those people that you obviously put everything into this. Like, you know, you're working as a sound guy, that's for this. You're staying at home so you can tour more. You're recording these albums so you have something to sell on tour. Like, it's all sort of surrounded this. I guess a better way to put it is you seem to be very much believing in your own ability to do this, which is cool. I've always appreciated seeing that.
Like, ultimately, I believe in the music, and I believe I still have something to say. I think that's another important part, and it really came out, I think, on the last record in terms of the lyrics and just the title of the album itself. I've had multiple friends who are like, wow, you really stepped it up this one. Just kind of noticed. I mean, not my past lyrics, I think, are great, too. Sometimes I'll read something I wrote, and like, wow, like, I'm even impressed myself kind of slightly. I don't believe that came out of me because I never thought it was that clever.
Yes.
This one, I think I kind of like hit somewhat of a new stratosphere. And I mean, the lyrics are up online. I would love if someone would email me and tell me otherwise, or if it is good or it's bad or whatever. But
you want the hecklers, right? Do you?
Yeah, exactly. When it comes to the touring, I also think, though, it is important to be realistic. And, you know, as much like it from kind of you stand far back enough for me, and it seems like I'm just constantly on the road. Like, that's all I ever do. Most years I'm home 6 months. Most years I'm home as much as I am on the road. When I'm at home, I'm working and saving. I'm very, very lucky. My partner and I just got a new apartment. Actually, that's where I am.
Cool.
I should, in front of the closet. You can see this fabulous collection of VHSs over here, something I'm very proud of. But yeah, at the same time, we're lucky enough. We have a really, really nice place to live, but we're not living in a mansion or anything. There is a cost to kind of being on the road all the time and
sure.
Doing it in so many ways. So another reason to be like, well, it's not necessarily just about touring as much as I possibly can. Or another thing, I think I've noticed some people are always like, oh, why don't you tour this crazy place or that crazy place? And it's not necessarily about that for me either. I do most of my dates these days in the States, and then Europe would be second, Canada number three, the odd date in Mexico. But for the most part, I'm just touring places I've, you know, I've worked really, really hard to try to have a bit of a following and friends sure. that love my music like I do. And I've already kind of spread myself as thin as I want to spread. Like, to try to get to Japan or to try to get to Australia, I'd kind of have to drop something else. And not to say never, if I ever got invited to one of those places, but to try to do that development I've done, you know, like Europe for me, it was just constantly doing it, losing money until I finally cracked the code to like, okay, don't rent a car, you know, train your bus. I got a lot better at French, learned some Italian. Cool. I had a lot easier time kind of getting around now. And not to mention just phone apps have come a long way in the last 10 years. So to be able to do it where all you have is your phone and I'm booking bus tickets on a whim, I'm booking train tickets. Like, it's a lot easier to do it just me than it was even 10 years ago.
For sure.
That all contributes to me coming back with maybe some money or not losing, you know, an absorbent amount of money. And, you know, again, I can't say enough to be very clear. It's not about the money at all. It's not like that. At the same time, it has to be a little bit about the money because, you know, unless you're independently rich.
You need it to live. You have to survive on it too. And you have to be able to go on to the next thing, whether it's another tour or another album. You need the cost, there's costs associated with it, right? So you can't not focus on a little bit on the money side of things.
Yeah, you can't just keep throwing money and just thinking forever. I mean, at some point that road does end, and usually it ends in bankruptcy. I don't know how many times you get to do that, but
right. So, you know, whenever someone hears this, hopefully they hear it soon after it comes out. But these things last on the internet forever, and apparently I'm doing this show until I die. So, you know, it'll be floating around in the ether
for
a while.
We hope so. We hope you never stop, man. But I love, and thank you for having me, man.
Well, I'm always glad to have you on, always. But what's the best way to find out more information about what you're up to? As far as, you know, maybe someone hears this a year from now, maybe a new tour, a new record, who knows, right? So, where can someone go to find out information about what's happening in Greg Rikus' world whenever they hear
it? I always like to start by doing an internet search on me, or dare I say a Google search. Usually stuff will come up starting there. My Bandcamp is probably the most updated one. I do have a website, but I like to keep it pretty simple. Like, website is just tour dates, a music player, and contact info.
Okay.
So I guess if you're just interested in seeing me live, it's gregrikus.com. And then, of course, I have the book face, the IG, and the TikTok. And I'm not, you know, possibly being my age, possibly I was never really good at social media. For the most part, I'll just do a bunch of videos. Like, on tour, if I see something kind of interesting, I'll do a little video of it or something I think might be kind of funny. I'll cut it together, and I try to do it at least once a week. And that goes to TikTok, and then TikTok puts it on Instagram. Instagram puts it on Facebook. Facebook puts it back on Instagram, then I go delete the duplicate on Instagram or whatever. And that way all my social media is somewhat current, at least. It's, you know, stuff that's kind of going on and relevant.
Yeah.
But I really post music. I kind of like the idea too that, like, if you want to see the music, you kind of got to come see me live. But kind of here's my personality. Here's, like, kind of who I am. And you know, nothing's ever really taken off. I think my most viewed is like 1,000 views or something.
But there's still 1,000 people seeing it who maybe, you know, are new to your, maybe some of them, maybe 10 of them are new to your music. And that's like, that's a win there, right?
Yeah. And that's, and again, for me, like, it's not really a benchmark. It's not something I can monetize and to spend a whole bunch of time trying to make a video to try to see if anyone views it. Like, it, not really what it's about. It's one of those things I feel like kind of got to do to stay somewhat relevant, and just for, at the same time too, it is kind of neat, especially friends back home that maybe miss me a little bit can kind of see me hanging out in Europe and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it kind of gives something too to, like, you know, I could go back and look at this one day and maybe be like, oh yeah, that was a fun little tour or whatever.
Rather than 15, 20 years ago or more, where you would add like a still camera on film, and those photos are in a shoebox somewhere. And yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I have saved all my old phones. Although now I think of it, I didn't save the charger. And so that would have been a good idea. But in theory, in the future, if I ever can fire up this phone,
you can look it up. Yeah.
Yeah. And the battery isn't all dead, I could potentially look at old stuff on the phone.
That's great. you mentioned right off the beginning about the, the current album and the vinyl coming out. Do you have a date for that, or is that just sort of season, or what's the timeline on that?
Yeah, no, it's already out. It was out February the 10th.
Oh, no, but that was the album, the vinyl too, or is
vinyl
is
too?
That,
yeah.
Oh, good.
No, I toured in January, yeah. Just the CD. I was kind of
got it, and then the vinyl came out.
Like, hey, yeah. Hey, if you want a pre-copy. And then the vinyl came out February.
It's already out, okay.
Yeah, I've been pushing it ever since. And it's been really good. People, again, have been really, really, really into it. Nothing but kind words said about it. And I'm really excited. Out West is where I've been probably touring the most of my whole life and where I feel like kind of do the best. And I never had the vinyl. So it's exciting to kind of bring it out. And there's always that person, too, that's like, don't want the CD, already listening to it on Spotify, want the vinyl.
Yeah, that's cool.
So
yeah.
I feel the same way, too. And people give me CDs. I'm lucky that I still have a computer that has a CD drive. So I will always like save those. And then I have this ongoing forever project I'll never finish where I just burn it on. And then my iTunes thing is huge. I have like a terabyte drive with just tons and tons of music I've gotten over the years. And a lot of times too at festivals, they'll just like, oh, what does this person sound like? So if you ever give me a CD, there's a good chance it gets played at a random festival somewhere.
That's awesome. And then I guess the best way to buy a copy of the record is probably to see you live. And otherwise, yeah, I would imagine Bandcamp.
Bandcamp. If you really want to give some money, Bandcamp's a great way to get the digital version. I'm not super keen at mailing stuff around. A lot of times it ends up getting damaged or in transit or whatever.
Well, and shipping costs are crazy too.
Yeah, exactly. I much prefer you could come see me live to get the physical copy. And if anyone ever, for whatever reason, you can't get it, any of those players to work, I'm always happy to just email a copy of the record for free to anyone who really, really likes it and wants it. I mean, again, the most important part, I can't always give away everything. Physical record, I do got to charge something, but it's way more important to me people hear the music than to kind of make a buck.
Awesome.
A backlit man meanders to and fro. Squint to trace the outline as he slowly fades away. Turns his head to see what's left to show. The strangers that he'd recognize outweigh the friends he knows. Shoot all the messengers with their innocence of fault. Bearer of bad news is always first against the wall. Tell the king to keep his breach, there's demons closing in. To watch him squirm and churn and weep, regretting every sin. Well, this life is a nightmare. He stumbles out withdrawing from the crowd. Ripping, grasping, clawing at the walls to hold him up. The stare is black and vile to the sky. Believe in those who seek the truth, but finding it's a lie. Throw the captain overboard, this vessel now be mine. Fly the flag of wickedness, so black and not arise. Stain the seas on red with blood, no innocent survive. A relic of forgotten pain is all that burns inside. Life is a nightmare, life is a nightmare, life is a nightmare. Well, if our struggle is depression, lonesome methods are not hell. What's done is done, if we're the cause, then save us from ourselves. I'm just selfish and divided, I'm just ignorant and cruel. But you only get to win the game by breaking every rule. So let's burn the bridge, let's lock the door, let's throw in the key. Won't need friends where we are going. All you need is me. Light will isolate and permeate reasons of our minds. If you make it, that's the case. You want to run the road. We go further and further and further and further down. Further and further and further and further down. We go further and further and further and further down. Further and further and further and further down.